this is an all-age service, so that means hard to prepare for. I was maybe imagining two rows of young people, but they're spread out in different places. So lovely to see you up there if you're with us this morning. But this isn't just for young people, this is for all of us. And something that I hope that you'll feel part of, and that there'll be something for each one of us. Now, here's a question to get us going this morning. How good are you at waiting? For some of you, I wonder if you can think back to this time last week, when Christmas Day was 2 days away. What was it feeling like waiting for Christmas? Have we got any sort of suggestion? I know I've got a microphone to pass around this morning to you, but how was it feeling waiting for Christmas? Or maybe you can imagine waiting for a birthday or something like that. What's it like waiting? In fact, maybe we have got some people who want to just give us a little honest account of what it's... Let me just wander, see where I go. What's it like waiting? No? Ooh, terrifying. Sorry, didn't mean to scare anybody here, but... Well, this talk's going to go really well. Up in the balcony, what was it like waiting for Christmas? Can you remember? Any words? Brian, let me just put that in front of you.
I just wanted it to come.
Just waiting for it. Wanting it to come. Excellent. It was hard. Casper up there. Thanks, Casper, for that. Hard waiting, yeah? And Dave, for you?
Hard as well.
Hard as well, yeah, as a parent. No, good. But look, we all have lots of waiting to do at different points of our lives, and it's an important theme. And we come to it this morning as we come to look at the King Jesus, and we're on our series, and particularly the recognised King this morning. I wonder if we've got that in front of us. And what I wanted to do this morning, if you've had a chance to look at this brilliant nativity scene over here, we've got the events of the nativity and Christmas and Jesus in a manger. But as we've just heard Bill read to us from Luke 2 and a bit further on in Luke 2, we have a scene from 6 weeks on. First of all, a week on, and then 6 weeks on after the birth of Jesus. And what I wanted to do this morning was really to set the scene over this side of the platform. I have some helpers lined up and others who maybe will feel they just want to get stuck in and help me as well. But let's set the scene, because we have baby Jesus. Now, we need a baby. And I've just been talking to Henning, who's maybe willing to lend young Joe over here into the... So let's go for this. John, do you mind if we just use...
No.
This area. So we have a baby Jesus. Joseph's always keen to get on stage, so this is your moment. Baby Jesus, all right. Happy to be Joseph, Dad. All right, Henning. No words required, I promise you. We need a Mary. Is there a mum, somebody prepared to come and stand next to Henning just for drama purposes only? Somebody? Thank you, Becky. Appreciate that. Now this is the dangerous bit of this. I need a Simeon and an Anna. Now, what the Bible tells us is that they were getting on in years. And, yes, any volunteers? I need a male, I need a female, a Simeon and an Anna. Thank you. We're not going to do exact ages here, but Sonia, thank you for coming to stand with us. I think Anna's role in the Gospel is phenomenal. And you're going to come and just stand here. We're going to take a photo in a minute, so... Thank you. Great. Have a seat there.
Thank you.
I need a Simeon. I'm going to wait. And I'm going to wait. You're not old enough, David. That's the answer you wanted, wasn't it? I need somebody... Brian. Wow, this is great. Thank you. Come and stand here. And... I've got a photographer lined up, thanks Susanna, just to come and... So let's make it look like you're together in this one. Just Becky forward a bit. You could stand up if you want, but we've got a Simeon and Anna, Mary Joseph, and a baby Jesus, and a photo to be taken. All right. And if the kids had all been sitting at the front, we're all going to gather round and do a photo, but we're going to talk a bit about this scene, and it's an important scene to remember for... Are you done? Thanks, photographer. Thank you for helping me out this morning. Do take a seat. Well done. Let's think about those different characters for a few minutes, and it is a few minutes. Mary and Joseph take their baby Jesus to the temple. It must have been a rather difficult stage for Mary and Joseph. They've been through all that. They've been through remarkable miracle events. She's given birth to a son. They've called him Jesus. And so we read that they go to the temple. But what do you do next is the question. Where do you go next if you have got King Jesus in your charge? If you have the responsibilities for bringing up baby Jesus into childhood, into adulthood. And so it is, we read at this point of purification, some 40 days on, Simeon is there in the temple, going to the temple as he often would. And I've got a few shots. Mary and Joseph arriving, as is the custom with those pigeons. The sign of the poverty there, that this was a poor couple, but they are going to go and do what the law of Israel commands. And isn't it brilliant, just for this moment, that as they go into this temple with all the people bustling around, God has got his man and his woman in the temple courts that day to have this meeting with baby Jesus, King Jesus. And I want us to think about this because an elderly couple, and we don't laugh at that in a sense, because rather importantly, God has got his man, his woman there, just as in Luke 1, he's got an elderly couple, Elizabeth and Zechariah, ready for the events of the Christmas birth. Isn't that significant that here, ending the Christmas narrative, are an elderly couple, Simeon and Anna? And what we understand is that Simeon and Anna were waiting patiently for God to do something. And so we get to this moment where Simeon receives Jesus, the king child, the baby boy, into his arms. Let's think about that waiting a bit longer because, you know, looking around this morning, I can see people waiting for things. Not just for Christmas and wishing it would come in quickly in 360 days' time or whenever, or for a birthday that's waiting down the line, but I can see a mum-to-be at the back waiting patiently with a dad-to-be. And Lisa, we wish you well for that. For those who are waiting for a job and for work, and that can be a hard wait. Or sometimes maybe in a situation that we would just wish could be resolved quickly. For those who've known what it is to be released, and you've been waiting for that release date, and now you're released from a situation. And on silly examples, we all know what it's like to be in the traffic jam and getting rather impatient and fidgety and waiting, or in a shop waiting to be served. You get really hot and bothered sometimes waiting. It's not nice. And sometimes our true colours show, our agitation, our anger, frustration comes out. Or on a serious note, waiting for a hospital procedure, or for an operation to be over, or to recover from surgery recently experience, that can be tough. What we understand about Simeon is he was waiting for, and this is the phrase, the consolation of Israel. And there's something rather amazing about this man, because for year on year, day after day, he has been waiting, like his people, the Jewish nation, waiting for the consolation of Israel. Now, what's that all about? Well, we understand that that was to do with the time when grief and disappointment would be removed, when a light would shine into the people of Israel. And Simeon had been waiting patiently. Someone has described the days that Simeon was living in the first century as difficult, dark, full of degradation and despair. We get a picture. It was not an easy time to live in that culture at that time. We could say that about any culture, of course. But for the Jewish people, they were waiting, and some of them, like Simeon, were waiting with expectation, waiting for God to show up. Now, there's no indication that Simeon was a priest or held any other official position, but presumably he was simply a worshipper who went to the temple regularly to worship God. He kept alive in himself faith in God, when all others, many others around him had lost their faith. Simeon had this deep conviction that things would not always be the way that they were, but one day God would step in and do a miracle. Simeon held a belief that one day a time was coming when things that were wrong would be put right. Simeon believed that situations that were bad would get sorted out. Simeon was a man who knew that he wouldn't be alive forevermore, but was just hoping for God to come, even in his day, for God had promised him. And so we get this day of all days, a picture which somehow depicts it, a picture like we've just taken a photograph of, where somehow, for Simeon, that is Christmas Day. He's like one of those Old Testament men and women who had faith, trusting in God, holding a baby here, believing. And no wonder he bursts into song with the song that we have just heard read. Now, you know, I think there's something really helpful for us this morning, looking around. Thank God for such a mixed age range that we are. But we live in a culture that is impatient, that wants to press a button and get the answer straight away, that wants our food done in the microwave and we get a little bit impatient waiting for it to cook. We live in a culture that sometimes says to some of us, actually when you're past a certain age, you can really feel like society doesn't care much anymore. And that's not pleasant. And what we understand here is that God has somebody in that Christmas cameo, in the frame, who is there by the promptings of the Holy Spirit. If you read it in Luke 2 verse 27, he is moved by the Holy Spirit. And so he goes to the temple courts. At just the right moment, God has got Simeon there for this promise to be fulfilled. And so they bump into each other, so to speak. Simeon meets Mary and Joseph with Jesus. And this encounter becomes God's moment of realization for Simeon. Now, some of you young people, you may not have heard the phrase divine encounter before. But this is what many of us would recognize as a divine encounter, where God has arranged things in such a way, not by accident, but by his divine planning. We talk sometimes about coincidences. But this is a God incident, which God has brought about. And in all the details, moved by the Spirit of God, this appointment happens. Now, I want to make this point really and stress it hard. Simeon was waiting with hope. His actual name, Simeon, means the one who hears and obeys. And so here is this chap out of all the nation of Israel who is waiting righteously, devoutly, still going to the temple, worshipping God faithfully. And he's waiting with an inner hope that things would not stay the way that they were. You may have been given a card on the way into church this morning. It's our verse for 2013, next year. And I hope that will encourage you both today and over these coming days as we go into a new year. Sometimes people say, well, what's the point of these cards? Well, for some, I'm well aware, you just it's another bit of paper. But for some of you, you will put it on the kitchen board, on the windowsill, or maybe on the mantelpiece, or on your desk, or somewhere. And for many of us, these verses have become precious reminders of God's truth. Now, let me apply that to Simeon, because not by accident. You see, Simeon would have known Isaiah chapter 40 as we have it. He would have known those verses of the prophet, "Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and proclaim to her that a hard service has been completed, that her sin has been paid for, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for her sins. A voice of one calling, in the desert prepare the way for the Lord, make straight in the wilderness a highway for our God." Great. Many of us know that as beautiful poetry. Great words that Mr. Handel put to music, and many have enjoyed singing them even in recent weeks, and we've enjoyed listening. Some of those know those as a verse to be read at a carol service. But you see, here was Simeon. Without any of that context, he just knew the word of the God. And as he sees Jesus as a baby, a month old, 6 weeks old, he would have remembered that phrase which is on your verse for the year card. Those who wait in the Lord will renew their strength. Or the version we have printed, those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. Now, why are there two versions? Well, this is important. And it was a bit clumsy to put a footnote right at the bottom of the page on the card. But it's to do with this, that hoping is waiting. Waiting is hoping. And the word can be translated both ways. And so the reminder this morning, those who hope in the Lord, is not a sort of fingers crossed, I'm hoping it's all going to work out okay in the end. Simeon didn't need his fingers crossed. He had a conviction deep within him that he was waiting on God, because ultimately he could wait on nobody else to sort out his life. And he was with confidence believing God's promises, even though they hadn't been fulfilled. You see, the opposite of waiting in hope is sometimes we take things into our own hands. We get fidgety, we get angry, we get frustrated. I can introduce you to people who have given up waiting on God because if God hasn't showed up yet, I don't want to know, is the attitude. And while I hear that, I feel for the person who's frustrated because they've been waiting for so long it seems. My friend, what we need is this sort of Simeon hope, which is a confidence in God. And as Isaiah 40 will say, and we're going to look at this, God willing, in a couple of weeks' time when we start a series in Isaiah 40 through the following chapters. Isaiah reminds us that who are we to argue with God when God can put the mountains into the palm of his hands, into the weighing scales? The oceans are just like that. Sobering thoughts. And God is big. And Simeon here, he is defined by hope, waiting for God, what God would do and what God had said he would do. And so taking Jesus in his arms, he praises God, bursts into song, saying these words, Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, dismiss now your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles, and for glory to your people Israel. I'm going to think a little bit more about this in a few minutes, but just what an amazing person Simeon must have been. I'll mention Anna in a moment. But the ability to die satisfied knowing that he had seen Jesus and God's salvation. He wouldn't live to see Jesus grow up. But by faith he was able to say all those things. Sovereign Lord, my eyes have seen your salvation. We thank God for Simeon's experience, that divine encounter.